Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Mr. good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Tuesday, 14th of June, 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the Isle of Man. Background to that news, sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, new ministers at Enterprise and Infrastructure Departments. 36 teachers have left their roles this academic year. The Chief Minister talks about cancelled flights. Was Ramsay's Sprintfest a success or not? And a Manx resident recalls the Falklands War 40 years on.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Chanel Suku.
Fastamai. Sidecar passenger Olivia Lavarel is now said to be in a stable condition following an incident during the TT fortnight which killed his teammate. Meanwhile, police in the UK are investigating after French TT fans had their bikes vandalised on the way back from this year's races. 15 bikes had their tyres slashed or punctured between the 9th and 10th of June. The Isle of Man has a new infrastructure minister with immediate effect. Chris Thomas is taking up the post after Tim Crookall was moved to the Department for Enterprise. The Isle of Man's Director of Transport has announced that he will be leaving government. The Department of Infrastructure says Ian Longworth is retiring as he now has reached the traditional retirement age. In international news, seven will be on board the first deportation flight to Rwanda tonight. The plane is currently on the runway, ready. All four legal challenges made in the High Court today have failed. Victims of the Grenfell Tower fire are being remembered today, on the fifth anniversary of the tragedy. The names of 72 people who died have been read out at a service as some survivors continue to push for prosecutions. Those were your headlines, news at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goromayad, thank you, Chanel, from the Ronald Sway Met Office. No wind warning in place for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is smooth or slight. The three-day weather for this evening, dry. Some clear spells and a light variable breeze, much the same through the night, down to 7 degrees Celsius. To Crane, tomorrow, Wednesday, dry and sunny with a light variable breeze, up to 19 degrees. It's going to be dry overnight, minimum 12. And Thursday, Jerdain, dry with hazy sunshine, a light to moderate wind coming in from the south or southwest, top temperature 19 degrees. Tides on the way out, low water in a little less than an hour at 26 minutes past 6. Sunset 8 minutes before 10 tonight. High water 14 minutes after midnight. Sunrise in the morning at 4:45. And the morning low tide 22 minutes to 7.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's Update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
In a surprise move, Chief Minister Alfred Cannon has announced a change for two ministers. Into Enterprise goes Tim Crookall, and taking over from Mr. Crookall in Infrastructure is a man who lost his ministerial role under Mr. Quayle, Chris Thomas, MHK. While we wait to hear from the two ministers, we got a statement announcing the news to consider. Here's John Moss.
Well, what else can we read into this ministerial movement in Comin but that Tim Crookall, who has suffered, there's no doubt of it, in the firing line, is being rested, moved back from the front line to the relative quiet of Enterprise. Instead, into the shot and shell comes Chris Thomas, sacked as Policy and Reform Minister after he voted against COVID emergency powers in Howard Quayle's time, but now with his knees back under the Comin table. The statement issued by the government quotes Chief Minister Alfred Cannon as being delighted that these new positions have been accepted, that Chris Thomas faces a significant task, but that he agrees with Mr. Cannon that there should be a more focused DOI. The Chief Minister speaks of Tim Crookall having done a sterling job for Mr. Thomas to build on. He says Mr. Crookall will join a strong team at Enterprise, join there, not lead, to move the agency model forward. I'm grateful, says Mr. Cannon, for his steadfast support of our island plan. Mr. Cameron then goes on to give a specific window. The next 12 months has been critical if we are to leave a future legacy of positive change. Well, what does Mr. Thomas have to consider in his new job? The Liverpool ferry connection is unfinished business, 70 millions and counting. The horse trams may or may not be trotting along the prom this year. The harbour awaits the new longer ferry, the Manxman, with the port's infrastructure having certain question marks over it. The airport awaiting a new director to get to grips with issues there. The roads, the potholes, and that's before we get to housing. An area in which Mr. Thomas is already involved with the Housing and Communities Board. One thing Mr. Thomas can hand over to someone else is his chairmanship of the Post Office. He's quoted as saying, "The centre of the government's island plan is people first, with services for the community at the heart of our public service." So, the people's politician. Virtually everything in the current infrastructure department is right in the faces of those people, which is why it's such a tough job. It may be that Mr. Thomas is the man to answer the many questions. The island can only hope so.
36 teachers have left their roles during the 21-22 academic year. That figure, which includes retirements and those leaving leadership roles, was revealed by the Education Minister in the House of Keys this morning. It followed a question from the Arbury Castle Town Numaloo MHK, Jason Morehouse, who also asked Julie Edge MHK how the figures compared to the last 5 years.
Teachers leaving on the 31st of August 2018 was 17. That included retirements as well. On the 31st of August 2019, there was 37 teachers. August 20 was 19. August 21, 35. And currently this year, there's 36. Some of it is down to workload. Some are choosing a different career path because there's many opportunities out there for them. But there's also people choosing to relocate back to closer to family following COVID.
Does the Minister recognise the impact of the issues of the cost of living on the island, and that's becoming a bigger and bigger problem, not only for the existing teachers, but also for those teachers who are looking to come and work here. In previous answers, there's been indication given twice that the cost of housing, the support for housing, was being considered. The last occasion when that reassurance was given was February. We're now getting quite close to the start of the next academic year. We're needing several more additional teachers out there, I think another 14. Is anything on the table to encourage more teachers to come, but also to support the existing teachers?
Yes, we're very conscious of the concerns of the cost of living that is getting experienced with all key worker areas on the island. We are looking at this. Currently, the policy allows up to £500 to be paid to teachers for a two-year period. We are looking at that very closely to see if that is where the cliff edge comes after 2 years, and are we losing some teachers with regards to that. But what I would encourage any teacher who has got difficulties with any housing costs, that they do contact their head teacher, who will then get in touch with the department, and we can look at this on an individual basis. But going forward, we do need to have a strategic policy that helps people so there's no cliff edge at the end of the two-year period.
Hear, hear.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
The chief executive of ManxCares praised the way healthcare staff coped with the demand of the TT this year as it returned for the first time since 2019. It's the first time ManxCares spearheaded the medical response to the event, and Theresa Cope thinks staff, old and new, adapted very well.
We work incredibly closely with all partner agencies on a day-to-day basis, but no more so than during TT when we all came together to make sure this event ran as safely as possible. On the whole, Manx Care, I think, performed extremely well. I think all the extensive planning that we did really, really paid off in terms of the amount of additional staff that we had in place. It meant we got our bed capacity down to a really good level going into that. And this wasn't just about TT. This was also about supporting extensive bank holiday periods, which automatically mean that our services are usually more under pressure.
During the TT fortnight and just before it, Manx Care started a signposting initiative for the likes of residents and visitors to find, say, the care they need during what is a very busy time. How do you feel that signposting programme went?
So I think it has been successful. There's evidence of people, you know, receiving the information information, choosing well, making sensible decisions. I mean, clearly when you increase the number of people on the island by those sorts of numbers, we are going to see increased usage of our services. But it was a level of activity that we had planned for.
Are there any things now looking back at the 2 weeks that you think you could add to what Manx Care has done or could change to continue to improve the service that's been offered going into whichever major event or major time of year comes next?
As part of this, we will continue to debrief with teams and learn, and that was part of what we did with the ambulance team. We'll do that across the board. There are always things we can learn to strengthen and improve how we do things. But over the course of the next couple of weeks, we will do those series of debriefs and factor that in for the future planning.
Do flight cancellations damage the Isle of Man's reputation? A question put to the Chief Minister in the House of Keys today following varied disruption at Ronald's Way in recent months. It's been blamed on the knock-on effect of issues with staffing at airports in the UK, after a Canon MHK said it did cause problems over TT.
The aviation sector across the UK and Europe has experienced a difficult time in recent weeks as travel has opened up following the impact of COVID-19. Both airlines and airports have had staffing and other operational challenges as they gear back up to cope with the level of passenger traffic. And the Isle of Man is not immune to these challenges and has experienced some level of impact, often as a knock-on from delays and cancellations on broader route networks. Whilst there has been no formal assessment of the impact, government has been in regular dialogue with airline operators serving the island, both ahead of and during the TT period. And I'd like to acknowledge the airline's efforts in seeking to maintain a reliable as service as possible. The importance of the TT period for the island's economy was stressed to operators, along with highlighting the significant challenge that cancelled flight presents to the island, given the high level of bookings on alternative forms of transport and in visitor accommodation. During the TT period, additional contact was made with airlines, given a number of cancellation and delays within a short period. Again, these were as a result of knock-on delays as a result of operational challenges at airports in the UK and Europe, resulting in crew being out of hours or aircraft becoming unavailable to provide scheduled services. You know, in terms of the numbers of flights over the last fortnight, that 71 flights by EasyJet were scheduled, 66 of those flights operated and 5 flights were cancelled, and Loganair had 100 flights scheduled, 96 of those flights operated and 4 flights were cancelled. Obviously it's a huge disappointment when any flight is cancelled, but I would ask honourable members and indeed the public to put that into context with the substantial amount, hundreds of flights that have been cancelled across the UK during this period of time.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 17 minutes now before 6. High-speed craft Mananan departed Liverpool at 4 minutes after 2. She got to Douglas at about 10 to 5, departing this evening at 6 o'clock for Liverpool, arriving there at 8:45 and departing Liverpool at 9:30 tonight, back to Douglas at 12:15. Ben McCree departed Heysham at 2:05. She arrived in Douglas about 20 minutes ago, a little earlier perhaps, departing Douglas this evening at 7:45 for Heysham, arriving there at 11:30. And the 0215, Ben McCree from Heysham arrives in Douglas 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. The morning departures, Ben McCree departs Douglas at 8:45 for Heysham. High-speed craft Mananan departs Douglas at 10 o'clock for Liverpool.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
A Ramsey commissioner is calling for an economic review into the success of Sprint Fest. Robert Cowell's raising concerns over road closures, which he believes are limiting footfall to their flagship music event, which happens over the TT fortnight at Market Square. But he says it's not just about the cash.
I think it could be done better, and that's the whole point of the exercise. You know, it's down to the ratepayer to deem whether it's success or not, not for me or not for the organisers of the event. It's down to people of the town to say, yes, that was good value for money or not. You've got to look at two sides of it. There's the economic side of it and there's the social side of it. Everything isn't all about business. We have to balance the town and provide the town's people with what they want, maybe being more family-friendly and trying to get things done on earlier in the evening. Road closures is something we really want to look at, and how we can have events in that Market Square year round without having to close all the roads around it. It's not about cancelling the event at all. That is not the aim of what I'm trying to achieve. The goal is to make it a better event. For me, it's about footfall, traffic. We need to be able to blend parking and road opening with the event. I know that's difficult, but this time around, Market Hill was closed, the promenade was closed, the quayside was closed, really islandizing or isolating that market square. So although it was safe, it was also difficult to get to. I mean, you look at Peel Day, for example, and Peel is heaving with visitors. Now, Ramsey, I think we need to compete with Peel and look at it and say, right, we need a Ramsey Day. TT is a difficult time because the Isle of Man's alive and there's so much going on and there's so much competition for events. You know, we cannot have all those road closed. It's crazy.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Instagram is to let parents set time limits on their children's use in an attempt to counter claims it keeps young users addicted to the app. Parents of users under 18 will be able to enforce breaks from Instagram, monitor who follows their children as well as who they follow, and set a limit on how long they spend on Instagram. Parents will also get an alert when their child reports an account or post. Under 18s will also get nudges if they've been looking at a certain type of content repeatedly. The changes were introduced following revelations last year that Instagram's own research showed it could be harmful for teenagers. For a Daily Market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com. And the world still suffering from the supply chain blues, with an estimated 12% of container ships stuck alongside congested ports. To avoid a repeat of last year's product shortages, ship operators added some 8 million new containers ahead of the peak summer season, when importers order goods for back-to-back back-to-school sales and Christmas. But a lack of trains, truck drivers and warehousing space means ports can't move these containers inland quick enough, and as space at ports is in short supply, ships have to wait offshore for weeks longer than normal.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookhall.
UK and European stocks retreated amid fear central banks are going to be forced into aggressive monetary policy tightening, with inflation remaining high. US stocks struggled for direction. Oil rose and gold prices steadied after early losses. The numbers now at the close in London. Ramsey Crookhall reporting the FTSE 100 down 0.25% at the close, 7,187. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.9% at the close at 13,304. Currently in New York City, the trading day continues. The Dow Jones Industrial down 0.5% at 30,358. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 0.25% at 10,838. And the S&P 500's down 0.25% at 3,741. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is trading at $1 19.9 cents, €1 15.1 cents, and 19 South African rand 26.5 cents. And finally, in commodities, gold's down 0.4% at $1,810 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil is trading just over 1% up at $123.55.
I think Ellie's going to need some new school shoes.
Yeah, more money.
This is nothing. Wait till she wants to buy a car.
I know. We should be investing for a future.
We are. That's exactly why I took out the Shearwater investment account, because we can put in as little as £100 a month. It's just like saving. Perfect for building up a nest egg, for university, even buying her first house.
Oh, you're not as daft as you look, are you?
Invest in their future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookhall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
Reducing the number of local authorities on the Isle of Man would allow them to take more services from central government, the belief of the Douglas North MHK David Ashford, who'll bring a motion to next month's Timbal calling for local authority reform. He wants to see the 21 boards across the Isle of Man slashed to 5, north, south, east, west, and Douglas.
The local authorities themselves do an awful lot of hard work, particularly the small local authorities, actually, which it may seem I'm trying to be critical of by saying it needs to reform, but they're not given the support to be able to deliver the services. I've always felt that authorities on a bigger scale actually will be able to deliver more services. We have a very centralised government here in the island, and we need to decentralise. I think I remember doing an interview probably about back when I was a local councillor, so I think it was with Roger Watson, actually, where I said we've got to be one of the few governments that actually plays with car parks, where government is actually running and operating car parks when it should really be a local authority function. But, you know, I think there needs to be much more refined statutory functions for local authorities, more stuff delivered on the ground, building control, where, for instance, Douglas, and there is a couple of others, I think Onken's one, and then there's another authority that deliver building control. Other than that, it's centralised in government. It shouldn't be.
But you're a big supporter of the single smarter government approach. You call it single government. Chris Robertshaw was calling it single legal entity, whatever. So the idea or part of the idea behind that was that government becomes a single entity, is smaller and smarter. Douglas isn't small or smart, is it?
Well, I think that's a bit unfair, actually. One of the things I saw in 8.5 years with Douglas Council, I didn't agree with every single decision. I was quite vocal about some of them over my time, and I still am as an MHK. But I think Douglas actually has delivered an awful lot for the money it collects. If you actually look at where the
rates...
And
it does collect an awful lot of money.
Yeah, but if you actually look where the rates could have been, the rate increase has tended to be below inflation, I think, in all but two of the last 12, 13 years.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
9 minutes before six, Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. Starting with Commonwealth Games news, a Manx triathlete, Will Draper, has been added to the Isle of Man team for the 2022 Commonwealth Games. He'd originally been named as a travelling reserve for the Ireland squad for the Games, taking place from the 28th of July to the 8th of August. However, the Isle of Man Commonwealth Games Association applied to the Commonwealth Games Federation for an additional place at the event, which has subsequently been accepted. The CGA is congratulating Will and wishing him luck for the Games later this summer. And in archery, Leslie Slate set two new national records on the way to claiming victory during recent competition in the UK. Leslie and Roger Slate were both involved in the English Field Archery Association Bowhunter National Championships in Mansfield. The competition started with an unmarked 3D round, and Leslie's score of 422 set a veteran English record, which left her in second place at the end of the first day. The next day was an unmarked precision 3D round, and with a score of 264, Leslie set an adult English record, improving on her personal best by 15 points. A total score of 686 was enough to see Leslie take the national title for ladies' traditional recurve by 21 points. As it now stands, Leslie holds 10 adult and 10 veteran English records. Meanwhile, Roger had a good first day competition and, with a score of 482, found himself in third position in the men's traditional recurve class, which was a personal best by nearly 90 points. His score on day two of 242 gave him a total of 724 points, missing out on the bronze medal by just 15 points. Leslie and Roger will be competing for England at the end of the month at the European Bowhunter Championships. The week-long competition takes place in Confolens in France.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound Logan Airs, 25 past 5. Manchester flight landed some 12 minutes late. Next inbound tonight is the 5-8 Logan Air returning patient transfer plane from Liverpool. Due in at 5-8, it is delayed till at least 8:15 tonight. And the 8:05 Logan Air from London City is delayed till 9:25. The EasyJet 8:30 from Gatwick is showing on time. Departing from the Isle of Man, next outbound is the 6:00 Logan Air patient transfer plane to Liverpool, but that is delayed from 6:00 till 6:20. Then it's the EasyJet 9:05 return to Gatwick, showing on time at the moment. In Douglas on the roads, temporary lights on Glen Crutchery Road near the turn for police headquarters. They're doing some water main work there. During that time, there's also restrictions on Dukes Avenue. Temporary lights on Queen's Drive North View for resurfacing in Peel, and also a section of Mill Road Peel's closed near the power station till the middle of next month for some pipe work. Temporary lights on Mines Road, Foxdale for overhead line work. That's between the clock tower and the MSPCA. At the bottom end of the Slock, got temporary lights near the turn for the Ballykill Ferrick Road. And in Castletown, of course, Castle Street's one way northbound for building work till April next year. Southbound buses loop around Castletown, then go on to Colby, Shore Road, Port Erin and Port St Mary. Get the details at findmybus.im. And at the Doon, the loop roads close for the laying of replacement water mains.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Spread your payments interest-free. Get more with
Quayside. Many, many more stories that we didn't get to tonight on Manx Radio. You'll find them all on the free Manx Radio app and at manxradio.com. Finally, a Manx resident's been recalling his memories of the Falklands War, 40 years since it ended. Aidan Forbes was serving in the 2nd Battalion of the Parachute Regiment at the time, and he's been sharing his memories of the 74-day conflict with Manx Radio.
Around the landing position, there was a place called Fanning Head. That was getting shelled up by the Royal Navy. And we learned out later there was an SAS patrol up there sorting out the people that were on there. So we mounted into our landing craft through the side door. There was no special way. It was quite a big swell. We lost one guy with a fractured pelvis who got caught between the landing craft and the boat. And you've got to remember that we were going up ashore with full battle kit, so minimum for an infantry guy, one of the grunts in a rifle company, he'd be carrying about 10 stone. As a radio operator, I was carrying my own weight, so I'd be about 12 stone. And they gave us the lovely thing, as we were getting onto the landing craft, the mortar platoon gave us two mortar rounds to carry on as well. So we actually went up a little bit heavier than that.
You were landed eventually at a place called Blue Beach, which is near San Carlos. And there was a famous instruction or a famous piece of advice that was given. Did you get that as well, about how deep the water was going to be?
We've all seen the old movies, Sands of Iwo Jima, with John Wayne charging ashore and onto these lovely sandy beaches. We had TAC 1, which was Colonel Jones behind us, was with B Company. The ramp went down. We were all waiting to run ashore. There was quite tall ramps on these landing craft, and it just disappeared into the water. We all looked at it, and the loadmaster, he shouted, "Troops out." And we all looked at him and thought, no, we're not going into that, mate. You can't see the bottom. Anyway, at the back, Jones shouted, "Red on, go." And all that's wall paras, that's our signal to jump. So we all ran off this thing into this water that came up in my chest. And my mate Stu, who's even shorter than me, we were having to hold his head above water to get him onto a certain point where we could actually wade ashore streaming with kit.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Chanel Sukup, producer Tessa Hawley. More with Aidan Forbes after the news at 6 o'clock on Manx Radio. And if you're listening to this update as a podcast anywhere in the world, any time of day or night, thanks for being with us.
WINT